You are listening to A Message from Victory. We hope this will encourage you to grow in your faith.
Conclude our series called Church TM. I'm sure Pastor Paula explained it to you already, but when you look at Church TM, TM is an acronym for trademark. So the last 5 Sundays, we've been talking about the trademark of the church based on the book of Acts. And some might ask, why do I need to be part of the church? I mean, I'm part of the Rotary Club. I'm part of the Lions Club. I'm part of JCI. I'm involved with a lot of organizations and clubs. So I know a lot of people outside, Pastor, but why do I need to be connected to church? And so the value and the significance of the church is what we talked about the last 5 Sundays. I believe as a Christian, if you are a Christian, you need to be part of this greatest family on earth. And it's part of your sanctification and your transformation as a Christian. No Christian can grow solo. Look at the person beside you. We need each other. Whether you like the person beside you or not. We need each other. That's part of our growth. And part of sanctification as a Christian is it's not just the Holy Spirit working in and through us. We need to be part of God's people. Now, when I say church, I'm not just talking about Victory. I'm also talking about CCF, JIL, the body of Christ. As much as possible, a Christian needs to be connected to the body of Christ. That's why it's possible we can have malnourished Christians. We're saved, we have Jesus in our lives, but we're not growing. And it can be a factor to that is we're not connected. And so the last 5 Sundays, I was about to say Pastor Jen. Am I being prophetic here? Okay, Miss Jen last Sunday preached, Pastor Paula and different pastors preached, just to emphasize that this series is not just understanding what the church means and what the church is, but also the value and the significance, why I need to be part of the church, regardless of my involvement outside church. What matters is I'm connected to the family of God, because it's never been about a building, it's about God's people. There's a story of in the States when they built in Pittsburgh one of the biggest post offices in the States. And so the day of inauguration came. Maybe some of you are not familiar with post office. Okay, before the seasoned ones, ask the seasoned ones. Post office is where you drop mail. There was no email back then. Okay, so usually they write letters and send it to different countries. You go there and you drop it, they'll send it. Okay, there was no Facebook Messenger back then, okay? And so they built this post office, and the day of inauguration came. The governor was there, the important people were there, and they were excited. They spent millions of dollars building this magnificent, excellent facility. And so, of course, usually when there's inauguration, there's ribbon cutting, and so they cut the ribbon. One man was so excited to drop the first mail, to access this privilege. And so he came there, but for like a few minutes, he cannot, because he's having a hard time finding the most important thing that post office should have. Yeah. It's the box. Unfortunately, because they were catching up and rushing to reach the deadline, they forgot to install the mailbox. And so the governor and the staff was just scratching and really just apologizing. But after a few days, they were able to install it. Is it really possible? Think about this story. Is it really possible to invest millions of pesos in church? We can have a great facility, a great building, sufficient parking system. Yeah, sufficient. I'm sure some of you can relate. Amen. A great off-site parking, great volunteers, great IT, great internet, great LED screen, great lights that expose our acne problems, whoever preaches here. A great phase one, phase two, great chapel. We just opened the chapel upstairs for prayer. So is it really possible that we can have all these wonderful things, invested millions of pesos in it, and then forget one of the most important, essential thing in church? That's my question to us today. What is the most important thing that the church should not lose? What are the important things? Church building? Yeah, it is important. Okay, I'll speak in Tagalog, I'll translate it. Mawala na lahat sa church. Ano ang bagay na dapat hindi mawala? Okay, if you're given a choice. Okay, let me translate it. When everything is raptured, when everything vanishes and disappears, if you're given a choice that everything will be, but you're given a choice, what is one thing that should remain? What would it be? We're talking about church trademark. Because I think about that post office story. I mean, they did everything they could. They poured in so much money, great facility. I'm sure there are great office desks, great staff. But the most essential thing, which was the mailbox, was gone. It's not there. And so is it really possible that the church can have great, everything great, but still miss one important thing? That's what we want to answer today. We're going to look at Acts 28, the story of Apostle Paul. In this, the background of this story, Paul is actually a prisoner here. You know, you can read the background in Acts. I don't have time to explain it. But there's, to cut the long story short, the Jews filed the case against Paul of defiling the temple because he brought a Gentile to restricted areas, in short. But, you know, Paul was already a believer of the new covenant. He no longer was following all the laws in the Old Testament, which all the Mosaic requirements and everything. But then the Jews got offended because he brought a non-Jew to a certain place in the temple that they say he defiled the temple. So they filed a case against Paul. Paul was in prison. And then they found out he's a Roman citizen. So now he has a little bit of privileges. So he's a prisoner now here in Rome. From Jerusalem to Rome, he was transferred. And he's a prisoner, but on guard, but not in jail. So he's free to roam Rome. But technically, he was still a prisoner. But let's look at this one. What Paul was doing, Paul felt his death was imminent. He's not just a prisoner because of the gospel, but when he wrote a letter to Timothy, he feels like he's going to die sooner than later. But let's look at Paul, that if his death is imminent and he's a prisoner, what has he been doing? Now, we're focusing on Paul's missionary journey, but it's safe to assume what Paul is doing is a reflection of the early church that we can apply. So let's look at that. Verse 23 of chapter 28 of the book of Acts, when it says, when they had appointed a day for him. Who's they? Paul reconnected or wanted to connect with the Jewish people in Rome. Okay, so this you're talking about they. They had appointed a day for him, for Paul. The Jewish people, leaders of the synagogue, came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. Let's look at what Paul was doing, being a prisoner, and he felt like he's going to die soon, but this is what he did. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Let's say if you're in the position of Paul, you feel like you're going to die soon. What are you going to do? There's a book that we read, and some of you read, 30 Days to Live. And we still use that for outreach materials. But if you're Paul, and if you feel you're going to die soon, what are you going to do? What's in your bucket list? Skydive, bungee jumping. I'm sure you have bucket lists. If you know you're going to die soon, you're going to do top five Okay, you don't have to share it to the person, but just think with me. What are those top five things that you're going to do if you're going to die soon? You find out you're going to die soon. But let's look at Paul. Paul did one thing. He kept the main thing, the main thing. From morning till evening, he expounded. You know what expound means? Explain. You know what testify is? A test. He's a living proof of Christ. Of Christ's goodness, existence, so on and so forth. And then convincing them about Jesus. That's what he was doing, even though he knew that his death was near. And this is a reflection of the early church. I pray that the church in this 21st century will get it as well. That if there's one thing that the church should not and must not lose, remove the building, remove the aircon, remove the parking lot. If there's one thing we're going to remove, we shouldn't remove rather, what is it? And this verse gives us an answer. It's Christ and his kingdom. This is the trademark of the church. One thing that we should not lose focus on and not miss and forget is Christ and his kingdom. And that's what Paul was doing. From the time of his calling to the nearness of his death, even at the point of death, he would always preach Christ and his kingdom. You know what that what tells of Paul? What describes Paul? Whenever I look at this verse, what do you think Paul is? Let's go back to the verse. From morning till evening, like that's like the whole day. He can do it whole day, every day. Some of us cannot even stand reading the Word of God after 5 minutes. I know, I guess the attention span is short already. We can withstand Instagram the whole day, but not the Word of God. Amen. Amen. But Paul was obsessed about one thing, and that's actually Christ and his kingdom. It's either, when you look at this, Paul is a fanatic or a lunatic. But I would choose the former. He's a fanatic. You know the trademark of the church? Is we need to be obsessed about Christ and his kingdom. That's the lingo that's friendly to all generations. We need to be obsessed about Christ and his kingdom. Not just the church. Every Christian needs to be obsessed about Christ and his kingdom. What are you obsessed about? Blackpink? Stranger Things? Social events? Business and how to make money, commission, your job. Although these things, when I mention these things, I'm not saying these things are bad, but there's a greater obsession that a Christian needs to have aside from the things I've mentioned. And the top one is Christ and his kingdom. That's what Paul was obsessed about. It's not just the person of Christ, but even his kingdom. Now let me explain why I have... But Pastor, the kingdom and Christ, they're the same. No, it's not. This is where the rubber meets the road. Some Christians are in love with Christ, and it's good. We need to be in love and fall in love and continuously walk with Christ, the person of Christ. I mean, a normal person, who wouldn't fall in love with the idea and the person of Christ, right? I mean, Christ as a servant leader, Christ is the one who fed the 5,000, just like what Rhea shared a while ago. Christ was the one who performed miracles, signs and wonders. Christ who accepted people from all walks of life. Christ who did not condemn, did not judge, but gave extended grace to the people who needed it. Who wouldn't love the idea of Christ? A normal person will fall in love with Christ. But this is where the rubber meets the road for other Christians. How about embracing his kingdom? Sometimes they have a hard time accepting his kingdom. The kingdom is two words. King and... Huh? You need lunch? King and Dome. King's domain. For every Christian, we need not just to be in love with Christ. Oh, that's good. We're devoted to Christ. We're obsessed about Christ. But we need to embrace His kingdom. That means His rulership over our lives. And that there are some Christians that Pastor Paul and some small group leaders instruct and coach that the reason why some Christians are having a hard time walking with Christ is because they love Christ, but they don't love His rulership in their lives. We need to embrace both. We need to embrace both. It's the person of Christ. Now, let me put it this way. Sometimes we love Christ as the good God, as the one who saved us from our sins and from death. But we don't like receiving and embracing His standard and His rule. It's a lordship problem sometimes. The application for us is this. How, what do you mean, Pastor? If you're telling me the trademark of every Christian, the trademark of the church is, I need to embrace, I need to be obsessed about Christ and His kingdom. What do I mean? What's the application here? The application is, of course, Pastor Paulo keeps on reiterating this, read your Bible, pray, but I'll set that aside because we know that already. I'm speaking to the choir. But the application is this. I feel like when we're, if we're really obsessed about Christ and His kingdom, are we living out the kingdom values wherever we go? I was doing one-to-one with a businessman. And he attends church. But then just last year, he made the decision that he wanted to grow more and commit to knowing Christ more. And so we did one-to-one. Some of you are not familiar with that. The one-to-one booklet I just had to went through. To go through with him and explain foundational topics in the Bible to help him have a firm foundation of what it means to have a relationship and what is Christianity. So we went through that. And he shared to me one time when he started committing to knowing Christ more and taking this Christianity seriously, he actually experienced and noticed the change. He told me, Patrick, the moment I started growing and knowing Christ more, he said, I know in business, sometimes the cash flow is not ideal at times. And sometimes some deals get delayed. But what he said, when before growing in my relationship with Christ, every time these things happen, I lose my temper easily. Sometimes I raise my voice and shout at my staff. I panic. I have those sleepless nights and sometimes I get anxious because of these things. But you know what? This is what he said. But you know what? When I started to understand more of Christ growing in me and I started to realize that my life does not revolve around my business, but my life revolves around Christ. For some reason, when deals get delayed and when cash flow is not enough, I'm more composed. My staff sometimes get shocked that this is the time I lose my temper, but I no longer lose my temper. And I feel more confident now that even if money is delayed and collection is delayed, it seems like I feel that I'm more at rest and at peace because I know my God is in control. And I was just listening to him. Wow. That's what kingdom values look like. That's what it means when you're obsessed about Christ. You apply kingdom values wherever you go. Whether you work in the government, you're a student, you have a business, you work in the office. Are the kingdom values manifesting in your life? Pastor, what are kingdom values? Well, the basic one is the Ten Commandments. That's a kingdom value. Christ mentioned that. What else? What are the kingdom values? Well, read Matthew 5-7. That's Sermon on the Mount. Give an example. Do not judge. When the right kind of prayer. Generosity. Do not worry because God will. These are kingdom values. And you can read that later. But if I'm obsessed about Christ, are the kingdom values manifesting in my home? Are the kingdom values being manifested in my workplace? Is it evident? Am I living it out? You know what a fanatic is? Paul is a fanatic of the gospel. From morning till evening, have you ever met someone who's really a fanatic of something? Like all the words that come out from his or her mouth, it's just all about that thing. Maybe it's a basketball, or maybe it's other, it's pop culture. A few years ago, I got to talk to a fanatic of Marvel Comics in the church. Okay, so he's young. He was still young back then. And so I just had to ask him, hey, how are you? Okay, remember, take note. That's the only thing I ask. How are you? Hi, how are you? But the moment I asked, hi, how are you? He took 30 minutes of my time. And he started sharing all the Marvel superheroes that sometimes I'm not really interested. I just watched the Infinity Wars and that's it. And then he even gave me all the links in YouTube. This is what you want to watch. The links and all the comics, the PDF form. He can give it to me. And all the words that come out from his mouth is all about the superheroes from Marvel Comics. Okay, you know, in my mind I said, thank you. Noted. You ever met someone who's a fanatic? Okay, fanatic of Warriors, Golden State Warriors, or maybe Raptors. Okay, one-hit wonder, Toronto Raptors. Sorry. NBA. You know what I'm talking about? A fanatic? Someone who will expound, persuade you, and attest that, you know, this thing changed me. That's a fanatic. Now, what's the application for us? What's the trademark of the church? As we close this series, we should be fanatic of Christ and His kingdom. Are the kingdom values seen? How about in our homes? Do our family drivers see that? Do you still shout at them? Do you still shout at your helpers easily? You know, a good dipstick to ask if the kingdom values are being seen? Ask your children. No, let Jesus ask your children. And let Jesus ask your household helpers and your household staff how you take care of them. You know, if you really want, if kingdom values are being seen in your workplace, ask your office mates and your staff that work under your department. Because if I'm obsessed about Christ, I'm not just a preacher of Christ. I'm not asking you to be like Pastor Paolo and Pastor Lowell, who can speak to thousands of people. It's living it out. It's living out the kingdom values. That's what it means. That's the trademark of the church. Okay, let me speak in Tagalog again. Mawala na lahat. Mawala na lahat. The venue can change next week. The parking lot can disappear. The chapel on the roof deck can disappear. But one thing should not and must not. And that is our passion, our obsession for Christ and His kingdom. Amen. That's what it means. Amen? Amen? Verse 24. So Paul was talking to the synagogue rulers in Rome chapter. What's the response? Some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And that's the reality. When we preach Christ and his rulership, his standards, the Bible, then some will be offended, some will not take it, but some will accept it. And that's fine. We shouldn't take it personally. Now let me talk to the small group leaders. It's still a good reminder for us that when we preach Christ and his kingdom to the people in our group, let's not get offended if they don't want to take it. That's not part of our business, okay? Don't go to your office mate. Don't try convince your classmate or your friend or your business partner this coming week, I'm here to convert you. Okay? It's not your job to convert. Your job is just to show how fanatic and how obsessed about Christ and his kingdom. Now, for them, it's their decision if they're going to believe it or not. But take note, Whether they believe it or not, it shouldn't stop you from being a fanatic of Christ and His kingdom. I wonder how many pastors like me edit and sugarcoat the Bible so that the attendance will not wane. I'm speaking to myself. I wonder how many Christians sugarcoat the scripture. That's why they don't preach Christ and the hard truths about Christ, because they're afraid they're going to offend people. You know the good thing about Paul? He will not flinch. He'll never sugarcoat. Of course, there are words, the right words to say it, the method to say it, but he will not sugarcoat the Bible and Christ for the sake of retaining people in the church. I wonder how many people, speakers, preachers, teachers like me, sugarcoat it and just decide, I want to preach this message on Sunday because it's pleasing to the ears. The other side of the spectrum is, do you think it's possible for the church to preach biblical stuff like leadership principles, wisdom lessons from the Bible, encouraging verses? Is it possible for the church to preach these things because it's part of the Bible? And is it possible not to preach Christ? Okay, some are still staring at me. I will say it slowly. Is it possible for the church to preach lessons from the Bible? Leadership principles, encouraging verses, promises of God, and not necessarily preach Christ? I think it is. I think it is. What distinguishes the church's message from other motivational speakers out there? And don't get me wrong, we have motivational speakers here in the church. But what distinguishes the message of the church from motivational messages outside? It's Christ and His kingdom. At the end of the day, whether I feel good or bad, at the end of the day, the point is I should point you and draw you closer to Christ and His kingdom. If it's not being met, we're not fulfilling the goal in the church. Let me give you an example. I can preach about David and Goliath. You know David and Goliath, right? Okay. Kala ko nakaganon lang ko. Who's that? Okay, you know David and Goliath. I can preach about David and Goliath and make us feel good that whatever giants, how big your problems might be, you can slay them, right? Yay, amen! And I can actually end that message of slaying the giant and not necessarily pointing you to Christ. So my reminder I have to embrace to as a preacher and to all the pastors here and to all the small group leaders and to every Christian, aside from all the lessons we can learn from the Bible, the main message is Christ and His kingdom, His rulership over our lives. Am I able to bring it out from this four-cornered place this coming week? Wherever I go, am I able to live out the kingdom values? I'm not talking to the atheists here and the agnostics and Gnostics. You have your time. No, I'm not scaring. You have time. What I mean, you have time to process it. Okay, you have time to process. I'm talking to all the Christians here. We need to be obsessed by one thing, and that's Christ and His kingdom. The person of Christ and His rulership over our lives. You can apply that in your business. You can practice that wherever you go. Some were convinced, others were offended. But here's the thing, we will not flinch because the frequency of preaching about Christ and His kingdom is not dependent on whether people will receive it or not. I think it's high time for us to be reminded that when we talk about the hard truths about Christ, we're not worried whether people will come back next week or not. We shouldn't be worried because that's not our job. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict the hearts of the people who will listen. Exhibit A, Apostle Paul, who preached courageously without hindrance about Christ and his kingdom. Some were offended. Did it stop him from preaching it again? No, he continued preaching. The church now, since it has gotten a level of influence throughout the church years, throughout the years, the church has grown around the world. Sometimes the tendency for church is that we can actually preach a lot of messages here. We can get into that temptation of we're no longer preaching about Christ. We're just talking about social issues every week, political issues, social issues, problems in the nation. And every week, it's all about social issues. We can actually talk about every Sunday leadership principles. How to be a better CEO. How to be a better businessman. Follow all the proverbs, the principles there of hard work. So we can actually preach a lot of things. The church now can be a source of ideas and philosophies. But this is a good reminder. I need to have a laser cut focus. Nothing wrong about these things that I mentioned. But the primary message and the main focus is Christ, our Savior, our Lord. And his dominion over our lives and throughout the world. It will come to a point, how many of you believe, his kingdom will advance to the ends of the earth. Amen. And then, the leadership principles, the encouragement, the things that will benefit our lives will follow suit. But it has to come here. This is the main message. So some rejected the scripture, some rejected Jesus, the Jews. It's ironic that Jesus was a Jew when he was here on earth. And his countrymen, majority, did not believe in him. It's ironic. It's us, the non-Jews, who believed in Christ, who accepted this message of the gospel. But God has his time. And so some walked out, some rejected it, but Apostle Paul agreed to the prophecy of Isaiah. I'll cut that down and you can read it later. But in verse 28, this is what he said. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, to us, non-Jews. They will listen. And then here you go again, the main message of this passage. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God. That's heralding. Teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. So you get to see it when you study, exegete the scripture. When you try to interpret it, the emphasis is really what Paul's obsession was. It's actually proclaiming. It's synonymous to what I said, expound, convince, and testify. Herald, it's to declare what Jesus has done. When you say teaching, it's imparting knowledge, so how we can apply it in our lives, that's teaching. Kaya nga remember, Matthew 28, teaching them to obey everything. So teaching is to impart knowledge so I can apply it in my life. And then doing it with boldness and without hindrance. What's still hindering us from being a fanatic of Christ and his kingdom values? What are some of the things that might pull us back? And that's why we're hesitant. Is it distraction? Are we just too much distracted with, we're just distracted by worldly affairs? Is it fear? Because fear can be a possible factor. Is it lack of knowledge about it? Well, we have classes here. What is it? Ganito na lang. How do you translate that? Here it is. Ask yourself, let's have an obsession meter. Okay? If I'm obsessed with sales because I'm in sales, what's the obsession level there? Okay? Is it 7? 8? That's fine. How about Netflix? How am I obsessed with that? Maybe 4? Social media? 5? How about money? the motivation to make money, and that's fine. 6? 7? Oh, 11, 11. Thank you for that honest answer. Okay? And then the last question is, how about Christ and His kingdom? How does it compete with other things? Actually, there should be no competition. My prayer for, I only preach like once a year here. So bear with me. My prayer for us, and even for myself, is that the 12 noon congregation will be the most passionate congregation, obsessed congregation, when it comes to Christ and His kingdom values. And I'm not here to flatter you. During the worship, I was there at the back, and I was just praying, if there's one thing that the Holy Spirit will move things in our lives, that's really just the obsession and passion. And you know, passion is important. I cannot imagine living life without a certain level of passion. Have you ever met someone who's not passionate about anything at all? What's your plan in life? Whatever. You know, you ever talk to someone like that? What keeps you awake in the morning? Okay? Coffee. Yeah, aside from that. What pushes you and motivate you every morning when you wake up? I have something to do. Aside from our jobs. It's a good question. It's pathetic you live life without passion. Passion is hard to define, but it's easy to see. So my prayer for us is that the Lord will increase our passion and obsession about Christ. Not just to be more like Christ, but His kingdom. Am I obsessed? What does it excite me every time I see the real life video testimonies? Does it excite me every time I see the testimonies in Every Nation video, our missions? Does it excite me that the church is being birthed and planted in another city or nation? Does it excite me that my office mate will get to know Christ this week, amen? Through you, through me. Does it excite me? We cannot manufacture it, but let the Lord manufacture it. Let the Holy Spirit manufacture it in our hearts. There's a place that some of our members, some of our small group leaders have been going to the last 4 years. A place, and they're not pastors. They're just Christians, regular Christians from this congregation, 10-12. But the last 4 years, they've been going to this place that majority of us will not go to. They had a burden to reach out to these people that majority of us may seem and think of them as hopeless case or the scums of the universe. But they did. They brought this Christ and kingdom message out from this four-cornered place, out from the most convenient places of their homes, and they went to that place. I'm talking about a correctional facility in Manila. Some of our leaders went there. They go there every week. They go to the Women's Correctional Facility in Mandaluyong. They're not pastors. They will teach Christ and His kingdom every week. And they've been doing it the last 4 years. Up to date now, the last 4 years, they were able to reach out 480 women inside that prison who accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And they're not pastors. They're the ones who teach every week. And not only that, they were able to raise 15 women there in that prison, in that facility, who are now leading Bible study groups inside. 15. The last 4 years. Now, 11 na lang sila ngayon. Now, they're just 11. Why? The four were released already. That's a good thing. They were not just released physically from the prison. They were released from the power of sin and death. because they've received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And just this week, they baptized many more women who understood the gospel, who understood Christ, and gradually now they're learning how to live out kingdom principles. These women are busy. These women, those from our church, they're busy. They have their own business. They have their own families to take care of. They have their own concerns. But it did not stop them from living out these kingdom principles. So my question to us, I'm going to end, is a simple trademark of the church. And we need to ask ourselves individually, am I obsessed about Christ? Okay, if you've been a Christian for a long time, are you still obsessed about Christ? Are you still obsessed? Am I still obsessed about Christ? I know the word obsessed is, you know, Hollywood has made it dark or a little bit sensual. But let me redeem that word. Because when you say obsessed, I'm really just a fanatic, not just madly in love. And that's what it means. So let me redeem it. And the second one is, are we living out kingdom values? And that's my prayer for us, because that's the trademark of the church. Let everything be gone. If everything is gone, one thing will not disappear in our family, in this greatest family, and that's Christ and His kingdom. Amen? Let's all stand. I want to pray for us. Bow down your heads with me and let's pray. Lord, Holy Spirit, stir up that passion in our hearts. Lord, that I pray that you would open our eyes, each one of us, that material things are exciting. Money's exciting. New car is exciting. Houses, career promotion, all these things are exciting. But Lord, Holy Spirit, open our eyes today to see that there's so much more beyond the physical. That we will not just live this life comfortable in our houses. We will not just live this life focusing on our own concerns. But we will live life pouring out our everything to your agenda. That's your kingdom values. Help us be excited. This congregation, I pray that we will all be excited when we win souls for you. We'll all be excited that there's a greater mission, not just to go to work every day from Monday to Friday. We'll all be excited when we are being used by you for your kingdom. Stir up that passion in our hearts even right now. Let us not just be comfortable, complacent Christians. Help us be people who will be salt and light. After this service, we go out. Help us meditate on that question. Lord, am I still obsessed about you? Help us meditate and ponder these questions the next coming days. Lord, am I living out these kingdom values? So let this be just a venue where you will empower each one of us. We know your word, we get to know you, and we go out. We're obsessed about your king and your dominion, Jesus. Continue, Lord, to open our eyes and reveal things to us, that we will find contentment and satisfaction, not from the things we do, but from you and fulfilling the mission you have for us. Bless your people. Give us a great week. May your righteousness, your peace, and your favor be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We hope you were challenged and inspired by the message. Together, let's continue to honor God and make disciples.